This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only. In a recent study by the Harris Poll, on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs.
But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates.
Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier.
Express is in the business of recruiting talent.
Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges.
Visit expresspros.com for a location near you.
Can we talk about the shocking revelation when we got together? That Danielle Fishel is interested in camping? Please tell me about this. Yeah. This is not something I ever would have expected from you.
No.
And I am so happy.
Yeah.
Tell me about
So many things have happened since I've become an old. And one of them is that, for one thing, I no longer like to be in the sun. Like the sun, first of all, it's hot.
I've always hated the sun.
I did not always hate the sun. I was a tropical child. We went to Hawaii every summer as a family when I was a kid. The beach to me was always a very calming place. And I used to love to just lay there with a book and lay out in the sun. And then,
gross.
I know people don't.
It's
either you or it's not you. It was so me. You're a tropical person, right?
No. Oh, no. Also, when you struggle with your weight most of your life, the beach is not a safe, happy place.
Right.
It's a place where everybody's comfortable to take off their shirt and people are going, why are you wearing long sleeves? Well, yeah, no. Ooh, I have flashbacks to beaches.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I was ever really comfortable in a bathing suit, but I did really like the beach, which doesn't make much sense. But so I did, I just always loved that. And so to me, anytime I would think of a vacation or wanting to get away or needing to disconnect or, you know, feeling burnt out, need some time, I would think tropical location.
Right.
And then as I've gotten older and I've wanted to stay away from the sun, skin cancer runs in my family.
Mine too.
You know, it's just not something I'm interested in doing. I have become obsessed with the idea of connecting with nature and like feeling grounded to Mother Earth and seeing stars and trees and going on hikes. And like, I want to buy hiking boots and I want to buy a tent and I want to figure out like, how do you do that? And, you know, it's a little bit of a...
I can't wait to do this with you. Yes.
I'm so excited about it. I really want to do it. I'm a little nervous because, as you know, I'm also very controlling about, like, my kids' schedule. And so my kids are very used to sleeping in their own bed with perfectly dark and white noise. And I think, so what? You just sleep next to your child and there's, like, natural light about in the world? And where do you put the sound machine on? Does the sound machine bother the people sleeping next to you in their tents? So right. I'm a little nervous about how it all works, but I also think maybe it's good for me to just kind of let it all go. And
you do realize
just see what
that
happens.
The white noise that you're simulating in the room is actually created by nature when you're out there.
I don't think.
Yes, it is.
Is out in the world. It is?
It's just, you don't have to block out other sounds, right?
Yeah, like, right.
We don't realize how much extra noise there is just by living in a city or even a town. You know, like when I go out to my parents' property, it is insane. It's always like shocking how quiet it is.
Yeah.
And I remember my parents used to come visit me and be like, so many helicopters. I'm like, really? Because I wouldn't even notice it anymore. You know, sirens going off all the time. My parents used to just freak out. And I remember finally realizing like, right, no, I'm just like blocking it out constantly by living in a city. But what I would say, Danielle, is that like that attitude about like being prepared and like obsessing over like, do we have the right gear and that's actually really good for camping because that, you know, camping is all about that. So you actually have to put your energy into
being
like
prepared.
Being prepared. And so it's a relaxing activity in that you have to focus on a lot of different things to be prepared.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So like you actually get to put all this energy towards something. And then when you realize like, oh, we have our tent set up, we have our bedding, we have all our stuff, then we're just in wilderness and there's nothing else to worry about. And you reach this place of like absolute calm, especially when you like go backpacking because there's nothing else to do and you've hiked everything in that you need. And you have to like be prepared. You have to know like, oh, how much is this going to weigh? How much food do we have for how many days? But it ends up being like extremely calming when you realize like, oh, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing else to do except sit here or enjoy this lake or whatever. And what's incredible is kids respond so positively. Like we took a group of kids camping like a year or two ago and a lot of them had never been camping before and everybody was super stressed out. And we got out into the wilderness and I remember my son and one of his friends and they were like, we're bored like 5 minutes in. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to kill somebody. And they're like, we're so bored. 5 minutes after that, they were enthralled with rocks and sticks. And it was just like rocks and sticks for the rest of the weekend. And that's all they cared about. And you just realize like, right, at a certain point, your brain kicks, and the kids' brains especially, kick into this different gear where it's like, let's make up our own game here with this stick and this rock. And it just is thoroughly entertaining. And
the
it doesn't
original
need to be
iPad,
any more complicated.
Just a stick and a rock. Yeah,
exactly.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, I grew up camping. So I grew up every weekend. My friends and I would go camping, and we did it really cool because we all had dirt bikes. We all had motorcycles, and so we would wrap up tents and food and strap them to the backs of our bikes and ride into the woods. And we built a dirt track in the middle of the woods, so we'd be doing jumps and all this stuff all day, riding the track all day, and then you'd set up the tent and we'd hang out that night, and you know, you'd strap it back to your motorcycle and you'd drive home. It was
awesome. Seems really dangerous with a glass eye.
I know.
It's not a glass eye. I wear one glass contact lens.
Yeah, you have a glass eye. I can't believe we discovered
how
that about you.
How have we never known this exact? Have we looked up the pirate thing? I want the pirate thing looked up. No, it's and then the older I got, the less I wanted to be outside. And then now I've done something which I never thought I would do, which is I kind of want to be in a city, which I'm not a city person at all. And it's every time Sue and I go to London, we look around and go, okay, I could live here easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm extremes, man. I want a hyper urban environment or complete isolated wilderness. What I can't stand is the in-between, which
the
is
hybrid.
Most
right.
of America.
The suburbs. Can't stand
my
neighborhood.
Anything that's in between is what drives me crazy. Like when I'm driving into town and there's strip malls, I'm like, why? What, like make it densify this, like buildings that go up and, you know, but the idea of like sprawl, like stretching out, taking up space with buildings, like
so
ranch
all
housing,
of Los Angeles.
All of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the real problem with Los Angeles, I have come to love LA. I, you know, we've talked a little bit probably on the show about how much I used to hate it growing up and being on the show. And it was always like it, being anti LA. I'm from Northern California. That used to be like, it's just the way you were raised.
Yeah.
And I think that was ridiculous. Like, I love LA for its culture. I love LA for its diversity and like just the sheer amount of people and things to do, like all of that. The problem is the sprawl. It's so spread out and the lack of trees. I realized that like I need trees and Southern California just doesn't have trees.
Well,
it's such a bummer.
Our neighborhood is a ton of trees, Danielle.
Maybe you're one of the few, man. Like even when you go on a hike in Los Angeles, it's like brush, you know, it's, yeah, it's low, it's not trees, it's not like big tall oaks or, you know, and it's just a bummer, like we've just deforested, and I mean LA wasn't really a forested area to begin with as far, yeah, as I understand, but like we've deforested so much of Southern California, it's really hard for me, like, so when I talk, like when we talk about getting out in nature, you kind of have to drive like 2 hours outside of LA, like, you know, well, other
it depends
cities
on
like
your level get, of nature, like what you're looking, because Danielle, our neighborhood right at the trees, end of my street, not just trees, but right at the end of my street, it goes into just dirt tracks. Like, yeah, there's hiking, great hiking all up around,
right,
us, up
but
into
like
the
desert,
mountains.
Right?
And
it's desert. It's desert, right, hiking.
Yeah. If you liked, which, yeah, a lot of LA people I know love the desert. So they escaped like Joshua Tree and it's, right, just, that's like their happy place. You know, I have friends that, right, live in Palm Springs because it's so powerful for them. For me, that's like, no. Like, that's fine. I like it's it at hot, night, like stars, obviously, but I need trees. I need mountains. I need, yeah, streams. Like, I,
that,
like riparian
running?
Mountain. I find it disturbing. Yeah, it's just too, it's okay, too dry. It's, there's, yeah, no trees. There's not enough there. No,
should
it's
we
hot
go on a
sun.
Pod Meets World camping excursion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we should. 100%. I think,
okay,
we should.
Okay, good. I like that idea. I want
to
go.
I
want
to
really
camp again. I just said that to Ryder. He was telling me about a trip he took by himself. And I was like, I want in on one of those.
Well, first of all, just plan on coming up for 4th of July at my parents' house. We do a big camp out every year.
Yeah,
on my parents' property. And all these families come and, okay, the kids have so much fun. And we just hang out for 3 or 4 days. And everybody, it's basically a music festival without any music. But it's become like, it's such a wonderful bonding, you know, community,
okay,
experience.
Adler, yeah, will come as the beat bud.
Great.
As a
boy, one,
oh,
two,
what?
Three, four,
oh, there,
five.
I was like, what is he'll that? That was a great band, by the way. Are we going on the road with this band that we started?
Yeah, you guys were really great. Ryder on the drums. Adler wouldn't sing for you, but he's really great as a singer. And then Will jumped in on guitar. It was,
yeah, we had
a
Wheels
really
on
special.
The Bus was like, it might have been one of the best versions, I think, since the Beatles, yeah, did it in, what, 64?
Yep. Yeah. We made up spooky Wheels on the Bus this morning. We did like a spooky version,
oh,
where
Halloween
there were ghosts.
Theme.
Yeah, Halloween themes where there were ghosts and werewolves on the bus and they all said different things. So anyway, welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fischel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's easy for us to strike up a streaming service or bust out a DVD to watch our childhoods, but for actual home movies, it's not that easy. That's why we want to tell you about our friends at Legacy Box.
Legacy Box is the safest and easiest way to digitize those old school memories you have as VHS tapes, stacks of pictures, or those little camcorder cassettes that you'd have no idea how to play now.
And Mother's Day is right around the corner. There's no better gift for the whole family than giving them a way to relive moments like a wedding day or your first steps or that time you fell into the pool at Uncle Rick's house on the 4th of July. The patio was slippery, okay?
Legacy Box takes it all. 15 different types of analog media, even photo negatives. They professionally digitize by hand right here in the USA and then send you back a thumb drive or upload it to the cloud, as well as return your originals.
We recently used Legacy Box to get some VHS tapes converted. Truthfully, we had no idea what was even on them. And we were thrilled to see one of them was my husband's first shave. His parents recorded it, and now we have this incredible memory to watch that we didn't even know existed. It was safe and easy, and it means a lot to us.
Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
That's legacybox.com/world.
Danielle, tell us a little about your hydration style. Let's say you're thirsty. Are you chugging a glass, taking little sips, pouring it over your head like it's Flashdance? What's going on?
Well, we recently started karate, and the minute we get out of karate, we have been bringing our liquid IV, dumping it into some water, and I chug it because I am parched.
That is absolutely true. Well, I can tell you how I quench my thirst. Thank you so much for asking. It's with liquid IV.
With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink.
And 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness.
It really does quench your thirst faster than water alone, and it tastes good.
And with no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar, it's your time to try it.
Flavor-wise, I'm partial to pear and green grape. It's a perfect way to hydrate before a big day, especially if you've been up late the night before, which, honestly, I never am, but I'm somehow still tired.
I like white peach. It reminds me of being classy, and I want to swirl it and comment on what year I think it was made, and I think it was this year.
And it's incredibly conveniently packaged. You can just carry it in your pocket all day and then add it to your water. Bingo. Tastes great, and your thirst is quenched, and carpe diem.
I've used it after our long flights to live shows, and it worked to make me feel refreshed and ready to talk about MASH.
However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco.
Or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code WORLD at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WORLD at liquidiv.com.
Our guest today is somebody you guys have been asking for a really long time. We should have had him on when we did Model Family. That was such a special episode for Will. But it was also Jason Marsden's very first episode.
It's so, Justin. Justin. Justin Marsdale.
Sorry. I don't know why I've been calling him Jason Marsden all these years.
His character name is Jason Marsden.
Oh, I thought he's Jason Marsden was playing Jason Marsden.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So Jason Marsden played Jason Marsden on Boy Meets World for 9 episodes. His first appearance, as I mentioned, was in Model Family, which was season 1, episode 15. And his last appearance was season 2, episode 23, the episode called Home. Wow. 9 episodes just between season 1 and season 2. And then poof.
And then poof is gone. Yep.
I can't wait to talk to him.
They death chaired him. Welcome, everybody. Justin Marsdale. Hey!
Oh my gosh!
Oh, stop it!
Look at you!
You rehearsed that.
Look at you!
We did. We did. How are you?
Let's make him feel real special. Okay, I'm great. Look at all your faces.
You look like you're like inside the actor's studio.
I know. I was gonna say he's got like a studio going. He's got a curtain.
I'm behind. It's like I'm backstage at the Muppet Show.
He's got a director's. It's unbelievable.
It looks great.
Oh, it really does. It actually goes along very well with my first question for you, which is, we all feel like you were maybe born a 40-year-old who was just ready for television. Is that true?
Well, are we just going into it?
Oh, yes.
We've already been interviewing you for 20 minutes.
Welcome to the show.
So I was born 40 years old? Is that what you said?
No, you were born a seasoned actor is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, you were just like in your first appearance on Boy Meets World and Model Family, it was such a stark contrast for you compared to the rest of us. I will speak for all of us when I say the rest of us.
Because we were flailing.
We were totally fumbling our way through it until we finally felt comfortable in our skin. And then you appeared and you were like quippy and catchy and comfortable in your skin and took ownership of the stage and knew everything you were doing and found laughs in places that weren't even written to be laughs. Were you just always that way? Were you born to do this?
You're too kind. I was so nervous. I mean, if you remember, they brought me in like on show night.
Yeah.
I was busy.
That made it even more amazing, though, is that you did that on the day.
Yeah. I was nervous and excited because I had already had a friendship with Friedle already. And so getting to work with you was a kick. And then Friedle, I mean, let's be honest. You were lucky to be there. The real stars, you know, Ben and Ryder and Danielle, I had to try to impress them.
That's true.
And you guys were kids. You were kids, for crying out loud.
I wasn't even in the episode. So thank you, but I wasn't even there.
But
I remember trying to impress, I was talking with like Ryder and Ben, and you guys are just laughing at every stupid thing I said. I was like, all right.
Because
like
you impressed the hell out of us. Of course, I looked up to you so much because you were such a pro. Like, you were so comfortable. You knew exactly what you were doing. You were so funny. And I just remember being like, oh, that's what being an actor is actually.
That's how
like.
You do it.
I had no.
That's how you do
I mean,
it. Yeah.
It was like, for me, it was still just showing up and like, you know, figuring it out as we went and like getting notes and being, I just had no idea what I was doing. And I remember I feel like I had already met you before then, right? I must have met you like around town or something. Or maybe you just, your reputation preceded you. By the time you showed up on set, I remember just being in awe of you and being like, oh, I gotta take notes.
Yeah, I'd take you to Ed DeBevick's and you would go run around.
We just talked about Ed DeBevick's. No, you know what it was? I always equate sitcom especially to music. It's a very specific song and we hadn't learned the beat yet. And you are, you came in and were like, oh, I've been singing this song for 15 years. So it was that kind of thing. Let's go, let's take it back even farther though. How did you start in the entertainment industry and why were you 10 years old? Because I know you were 10 years old when is the age that all of us started. How old were you when you started?
I was 11.
Okay.
Wow.
What was, and how did, what got you into the industry?
My parents, you know, we moved to California and someone had suggested to my mother that, oh, you know, your son's cute. Get him, should get him into acting. And my mom went, cha-ching, what a great idea. So they found a workshop in Irvine that I believe is still functioning to this day. I think they've shifted to more online stuff called Del Mar Media Arts. And hello, Bud and Bunny Barth and the Barth family. They saw something in me. They trained me for 12 weeks. And it was all ages. It was like Thursday nights, 7:30 to 10:30, and kids, adults, and we did. They did everything. They taught you how to slate for commercials. They taught you how to read copy for film. They did voiceover stuff. Anyway, they sent me to an agent. The agent signed me that day, and then like then immediately started sending me out on movies, TV, commercials, voiceovers, and I was very fortunate.
What was your first
and you
gig?
You worked all the time. I remember you working constantly. Like, I remember like turning on the TV at the Oakwoods and it was like every channel you changed would be Jason Marsden.
Jason Marsden like, channel.
Everything. Well, what was it? What was the first thing you got? What was the first, your first
booking?
I believe
it was a McDonald's commercial. Did you all do time doing McDonald's commercials? Is anyone else?
No, but I wish.
We all started doing commercials. I do too. I want to be
still
the face
have,
of McDonald's.
Mine was for McPumpkin Happy Meals and I still have them. In my kitchen. If I pull back this curtain, it'll just be my kitchen. Surprise.
We've got 4 pumpkin pails.
Yes. 4 pumpkin pails.
Yeah, we had them for dinner.
Do you have that commercial still?
It's on the tube of you. You can see it. And I played 3 characters. I played a gold prospector and a bunny and and something else. I forget. A vampire. And I kept the pails and now, and like, that was like the real industrial, like bad for you plastic. Cause that plastic is not degraded at all. Now the ones you leave them
bad for you plastic,
they'll crack, they'll crumble into confetti.
Oh man. So when was Robo Jocks?
Robo Jocks. And then Robo Pop came out.
They did this, the handshake.
Robot Jocks.
Crash and burn. I remember this movie.
Floating
it. And where did you shoot that?
Italy. Rome, Italy.
Whoa.
Yeah, at what 12, age? 12, I was going to say 12. 12.
It was 12. Wow. Never been to Italy before. It was me and my mother. And like, this is so lame in retrospect, but like, I love Italian food. I grew up in Rhode Island. I'm surrounded by the mafia. I mean, like, every, you know, Italian food is the thing. And I could not stand the food in Italy. It was just, it was authentic and different. I remember getting a piece of pizza.
Like, where's
and
spaghetti and meatballs?
So much oil. And so we walked around trying to find a McDonald's. So I'm ashamed of myself for that. But yeah, it was a Stuart Gordon film. Stuart Gordon, who did Reanimator and actually created Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and many, many other things. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were an actor.
How did you get the call then, the night that they called you in to be Jason Marsden on Boy Meets World? How did that come about? Why were you called in the night of the show?
Well, I was working on the Tom Show, the Tom Arnold Show. And it just worked out. It was the last episode of that season forever. And for some reason we shot, like we rehearsed, we did table reads on Friday. Mm-hmm. Rehearsed and then did our audience night on Thursday. You guys did Monday through Friday.
No,
we did Friday through Thursday. We did the same schedule.
At the beginning?
Always. Because mm-hmm. Michael was a devout Jew, so we couldn't work after sunset on Friday.
Well, however it worked, it was like I couldn't work with you guys. That we were shooting the same week.
Maybe you, on Tom, did you shoot out everything you needed to shoot out on Wednesday? And so Thursday you were free?
I can't remember. All I know is the last day of shooting for us, they didn't make any special arrangements for me. And I was, I remember being asked to do Boy Meets World, and I couldn't. And we just left it at that. And then, like, I remember the night that we were shooting for Tom, my agent said, they really want you for Boy Meets World. Can you, do you think you can go in on show night and do it? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'll come in early. And I did. I showed up before y'all did. I it was David Trainer was the director, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, I knew all my lines and I did the blocking and I nailed it.
Yeah, you did.
You did. That was the thing that was amazing to me, because I had worked with this other actor all week long. I want to say his name was Paige. I could be wrong. And he was a very nice guy.
Yes, very nice guy.
Very nice guy. He just played it completely differently. He played it very straight man and almost angry. And I remember you coming in and us rehearsing and me the whole time going like, oh, that was a joke. Oh, that was a joke. Oh, there was a, there's like, oh, he's, it's funny. Oh, this whole thing's funny. And we've talked on this show before about how when you work with a better actor than you, it makes you better. And that's one of my performances that I look back at early and go like, that didn't suck as much as my normal episodes. And it's because I was next to you. And I was like, oh, this is how you do it. None of us knew how to do this yet. So watching you where you were like jaded by this point, you were what, 17, 18? And you were like, I've been doing this for 19 years. so it was, yeah. And I just remember you
get out of the bath on my cigarette smoke.
Exactly.
Would you?
Exactly. And we had a ton of fun.
Smoking jacket in his dressing room.
And because we had met years before I've told the story on the podcast before where you made fun of me because I was so excited to meet Perry King from Riptide. And you're like, hey, Dad,
Riptide.
Yes. Hey, Dad, Riptide.
Wow. Fresh off the boat from Connecticut, Will Friedle sitting in a chair, all excited. And I'm like, I gotta learn my lines, dude. Stop distracting me with your authenticity and your awe, whatever.
And you got that. That was almost home.
That's right.
With Lee Norris.
Yes, with Lee and Norris, yes.
We had Lee, and that was another Brittany Michael Murphy. Jacobs show, and Brittany Murphy, God rest her, that was how you and I met. And Shiloh was there too, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was between me and you and Shiloh, they gave the part to me for some reason.
Gee, I wonder why. It's because you were clearly the best.
Yeah.
I was local. They didn't have to put you up. They didn't have to put me up or anything.
Was local. That's
true.
They
used to have to give a relocation fee if you moved from like New York or whatever.
Wait,
like
award you will. That was
it. They did? Oh man! And then I told the story about the prick who stole my job when I met you that night with my dad coming down from City Walk, which everybody should know. You were and are still an amusement park kind of aficionado. I mean,
I like them. I like them a whole bunch. Yes.
Yeah. Universal, Disney, Knott's Berry Farm every Halloween. You were the man to go with.
Yes.
You used to be a member of Club 33, right?
Correct.
So cool. Oh, wow. That was so cool when you took me to that.
I've never been either.
Oh, it was so cool. So why do you think I was so much better than you at the Boy Meets World audition for why I got the part and they sent your ass packing? I'm just curious.
Will, because you're amazing, man. You're so funny. And can I say?
No.
I said it again.
No.
Because Will is so funny. And I think you did bring that authenticity and that awe to this character. And I can't even remember what I did. I remember Ben, because we all read with Ben.
Yeah.
And he messed up his line and he thought it was his fault.
Yeah, he felt bad.
He felt so bad. I'm like, man, when you go to network, you can feel it, you know? And I felt it like they clearly liked me, but I think they had someone else in mind, and it turned out it was you. And the proof is in the pudding. Like you kill it. You kill it. You're so funny.
Well, it's very sweet.
Why are you not still working on TV?
Because
that's what I want to know.
The giant anxiety monster came up and bit me. It is what it is.
In a green screen in your room, and you don't have to work with anybody else.
I do that all the time. We just don't film it. Sue is so sick of watching this show. You have no idea.
He's got 300 episodes of the Will Friedle show.
I'm doing a very special episode next week.
He plays every part.
It's so great.
Yes.
Now, here's the other thing that I want to, I'm sorry, I'm taking over this interview because I've met Justin before.
Yeah.
Here's one of the things I want to ask you.
Yes.
You came off as, and all of us thought that you were in way more episodes than you actually were.
Not yep. me. I thought you were only in like three, but that's because I wasn't there for some of your episodes.
Yeah. If you had asked me before we started this pod, I would have thought that Jason was up until season 4 or 5.
Me too.
And had done like 30 episodes.
Well, because I was always there. I was visiting.
I guess so.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you were always
maybe annoyingly so, but I would ever, I think I was doing step at the time. And after,
yeah,
like I would finish and I just go over and hang out.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things people are asking, and I don't even know the answer to this. Do you know why the character just went away?
I have no idea. I think maybe my agent asked for more money. Maybe someone, because I remember new producers coming in. Maybe someone just didn't like me. I remember I was told at one point, like I was just too busy, which might have been true. But I remember a stretcher. I'm like, no, I'm available. And I remember talking to Michael Jacobs and he went, you know, he's got his pencil. He's like, I'm going to put you in a number of episodes. And he didn't. So, what really hurt the most was, the final episode where they brought back everybody and did little cameos and, except for me. And how do I know? Cause I was there watching. it would have been nice, but it's fine. It's fine.
Oh, right. Like, was that our graduation from high school episode when yes. we brought back Lee and,
yes.
Mr. Tony?
Turner.
Like, that's yeah. right. And
but we only mentioned Tony. You didn't actually see him. Remember that was the joke was we can't go down that hallway. You never come back. Hey, Mr. Turner. And you
yeah.
never actually
right.
saw him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Lee was the only one who came back.
Yeah.
Actually.
Okay. So you didn't, because we never got an explanation either.
But wait, by this time, you were already on Step by Step, right? When did you start doing that? Like at the same time as Boy or?
I remember I booked White Squall when I was doing Boy because I was on set when I found it, I told you.
Yes.
And then I didn't do Step by Step until after that.
Okay.
So.
And Full House was before Boy?
Can't remember. I think it was after as well.
Okay.
I think the answer seems to be that maybe you were just too busy. That like the times when they would have been able to have you on, you were already working on something. You were working so consistently and for good reason that it just must not have worked out because, I mean, obviously.
You know what it is? It's not show talent. It's show business.
Yeah.
And and that's what it was. I mean, I was available. I was there.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Hanging out on date nights. He was at craft service with us talking. Yeah,
I just remember you coming back from White Squall after having shot that film, that amazing film with Jeff Bridges. If anybody hasn't seen White Squall, it's absolutely a wonderful movie. I remember you coming back shredded.
Yep.
But you just were just ripped.
Yes, I've worked out because Ridley Scott directed this movie. It is wonderful. But. Like they called it like a Dead Poet Society on a boat. It was guys go to school on a sailing ship and we actually worked on a sailing ship and I was the first mate. And I just remember Ridley Scott asking me, he's like, so, you know, and he works on the ship all the time and you're supposed to look like a box, you know, are you going to work out? I'm like, yes, I'll do that. So I had to work out to be in the shape of a box is what he was.
That's so cool.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
If we could, we would take Hyundai to prom.
Technically, Hyundai is more visible on this show than Topanga.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to a 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
Say teched-out again.
Nope, that was a one-time show. Snooze, you lose.
Well, either way, the Hyundai Ioniq 5 is a tech-forward electric SUV.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
So that means your car won't die out like the Matthews family vehicle on New Year's Eve, forcing me to miss out on kissing supermodel Rebecca Alexa in front of all of Philadelphia.
And with available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work!
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending!
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
Whose idea was it to keep your name the same for the character?
The character was written for me.
Right.
I mean, that's... And then a few episodes later, I forget which writer came up to me and said, you know, because obviously Mr. Feeney, the great Bill Daniels, that refers to everyone by their last name. And he says he has to call you by your last name. Do you mind if we use your own? We think it would be funny. I said, I think it'd be funny as well. So.
Right.
So, okay. I know this is a different podcast. And yes, I'm going to plug my other podcast, I Hear Voices. And we talked about this a little there. But you are a huge voiceover actor as well. Did that start pre-boy? Were you started when you were young doing voices as well, correct?
Yes, I did. First cartoon I did was Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears.
Oh, yeah, old school.
Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere.
I adventure that's beyond compare.
You didn't know Gummy Bears?
No.
Did you do Care Bears too, or were you just Gummy?
No Care, just Gummy.
Okay. Awesome. And then you went from there to, I mean, this was years later. Obviously, you did a ton of stuff in between, but I mean, Max for Goofy Movie.
Goofy
Correct.
Movie, right?
Is got to be one of your most recognizable voiceover roles, wouldn't you say?
It's up there, yeah.
And it's all Disney? How I guess that's the question is, how much Disney did you work for? Were you, because you were literally the voice of Disney for years.
Well, I did a Toon Disney. Coming up next, it's Boy Meets World, followed by Jake, American Dragon Jake Long, only on Toon Disney. You know, I hated that job so hard.
Why?
And it's horrible because like anybody on the planet would love that gig, but it was so, they kept, because I'm good at talking fast, they kept adding more and more words to it. I was sort of like on call, like at the drop of the hat, like, no, you can't go on vacation. We need you to come in and do this spot for the Mickey Mouse Club. And I didn't like that because it wasn't a contract. I wasn't a Disney employee. It was like a note. So I'm like, something's not balancing here. And you can only like be faux enthusiastic about something for so long before you just want to blow your brains out. So I just got completely burnt out by it.
Oh my.
Up next.
It's so weird because I want to sit here and talk to Jason about more stuff, but I know him so well that it's kind of like.
You know all the answers?
It's not that I know the answers. It's that it's like. I feel like I'm interviewing my best friend because that's
Jason,
what I'm doing. So it's strange.
We just learned that Will has a glass eye. What is something else we don't know about Will? Give us a secret about Will.
Oh, geez. Here we go.
Oh my gosh. Let's see, I guess you can cut out anything that you don't want, right?
That's right.
Here we go. Oh God. Oh God. Nothing sexual or weird, please.
No, then I got nothing. Well, there's so many things. I almost just like moved to Amsterdam and didn't come back one time.
Yes.
We did know that.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Let's.
But our audience doesn't know.
Our audience doesn't know it. So tell the story for our audience.
Well, we had gone together beforehand. I think you went even again before I met you. Had you? Or was the first time we went with Shiloh and.
No, that was the first time. Shiloh. Yeah.
Will, I thought you had gone a couple times by yourself. Or no?
No. The first time I ever went was with Jason and Shiloh and Jason. Oh, yeah, that's the first time I'd ever been. Yeah.
Wow.
It was such a good trip. And
so much fun.
Then I think Will went back again. It was
with me
between seasons, and I would check in on him every so often. We didn't have pagers or nothing. You'd go to a payphone and call me and check in, and you were like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going to come back. I'm going to stay here. I'm like. Okay, so I got a plane ticket.
Yeah.
Flew out to talk some sense into you.
Yeah.
You were staying in this guy's house.
Yeah.
He was a photographer. Like before Airbnb existed.
No, I found this apartment for him. Remember, Will?
Yeah, Ryder found the apartment. Yeah.
And I'd gotten there like stupid early in the morning. And you had told me he sleeps in and trying to disturb everyone until like afternoon or something. And so I waited. As long as I could, I think it was cold or something, and I like knocked on the door, and this poor older gentleman in like a shirt and his whitey tidies opens the door and is like, "Oh, that must be Hans. Sorry." This like three level house.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And go upstairs, and Will is staying in a room the size of this chair. Okay.
And what did he look
in
like?
There, I can't. I'm messing up. Like the square of this chair. Like he's in one corner. TV's in the other corner. A giant, giant bowl of cigarette butts.
Filled.
But he had a, I know I'm sorry. I'm describing things. It's not visual. It's not
your podcast. Great. It's great.
But behind the door was a mattress that Will had procured for me so I could sleep in there as well. But to show you, to illustrate how long he had been there, you know where I'm going with this?
I know exactly where you're going with this.
Oh, no.
Motor up, and I met Clark.
So every night, he would go to sleep. He'd have some cigarettes, whatever, on this little tiny television, and he'd smoke and he'd watch whatever, and then this infomercial would come on from Motor Up, and it was in Dutch. And when I'm there, and he looks at me, he's like, "Watch this," and he starts reciting. The infomercial, word for word, in Dutch.
Oh my God.
And I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. It's hilarious and sad, but mostly hilarious.
Oh, I remember.
So you had just been watching this every night.
It showed everyone's Hill Street Blues. It would show two episodes of Hill Street Blues and then the Motor Up commercial. And it would always start, Motor Up, and Ament Klar. And so I would just sit there and this is a solid block of ice. How is it still working? This rose has frozen solid. I still remember the Motor Up commercial. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That was a fun trip.
Yes. And you ate at Burger King every night.
We ate at Burger King every night. That's when I was writing the Winnie the Pooh movie for Disney.
You were writing the script.
I wrote the screenplay for that. But no, Jason, this is how good a friend Jason was. I called him and I said, "I'm not coming home. Can you tell them at Boy Meets World that I'm not coming back?"
Are you serious? This is 96. This is 96, 97. Yeah, summer of 96.
Can you tell them I'm just going to stay here and smoke weed and cigarettes and eat Burger King and write scripts? And Jason's like,
"Oh my God."
Uh-huh. And something like 30 hours later, there's a knock at my door. And he's like, "Okay."
What you don't know, Will, is I called Michael and I was like, "Hey, look, Will wants to stay in Amsterdam. But listen, I know it's a horrible loss, but I can fill in if you want.
I'm available." And
He hung up and I was like, "I guess I better go camp."
I better go camp. But he did. No, do you remember what you said to me? Because you came in and you're like, "Here's what's going to happen. We're going to stay here. We're going to hang out for a week and have some fun."
Yes.
And then you're getting on the plane and you're flying home. And he dragged me back from Amsterdam. Yeah. Oh, man. And I'd still be living there. I was just there not long ago. And that is now a hotel. That same place we lived. Apartment. Yeah. And that apartment you found, Ryder, that's the same phone that you would go out to every night. Was the same one I called Jason from. Yeah, so that,
it was near it was next door to a hostel, I want to say.
It was, and right across the street from the Rijksmuseum.
Yep, it was a great location.
It was great.
I mean, you couldn't have picked a better spot. No wonder you wanted to stay.
You and I have done Amsterdam, Paris, London.
London, yep.
Where else have we been kind of all around the world together?
We did Disney World a couple times.
Disney World, the cool way, the old school like old Disney school way where you'd get to backdoor the rides and do all that kind of stuff. That was really cool.
Yes.
Do you remember, what's the one where all the clubs where everybody dances? Is that still at Disney World?
No,
Paradise Cove, Paradise Island?
Pleasure Island. No, Pleasure it's sadly gone.
Oh, man. We had some
now,
fun times.
Now, we are recording this during spooky season, and there is a fresh revival of Hocus Pocus. It is now bigger than it has ever been.
Yes.
Would you have ever expected that? What was filming that like?
Well, and you know, I don't know if you watched the movie, but I that wasn't me in the beginning. That was the fabulous and talented Sean Murray. So I didn't actually do any filming. I came in after the fact and I looped the cat that he turns into. And then for continuity, I looped Sean as well. So it was about 3 days of work for me. I mean, I came in like
it
was mostly done, but yeah, I mean, I just did I've been doing these convention appearances with Omri Katz and Vanessa Shaw, and we just have a blast. I haven't seen Omri in 30 years. We did a show called Erie, Indiana together. And Vanessa, I knew because we knew Jonathan Brandis really well.
I forgot about Erie, Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, great show.
I love that
and
show.
People are digging it. People are digging it so hard. I mean, like you guys, I mean, you work on a show. I mean, you had a good long run, but there's lots of shows that had good long runs that aren't as celebrated as hard as Boy Meets World. So that feeling that you guys have right now, it's very similar for a Goofy movie and Hocus Pocus. You don't expect it. It's one of those wonderful things that we are gifted as in this unforgiving business that we're in, you know?
Speaking of which, what are you doing now? Because I know that you've got the Mars Variety Show, which is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And your life has become a lot about music lately.
I thank you for mentioning that. I have a show on YouTube called The Mars Variety Show, which celebrates independent musicians and stand-up comedians here in Nashville. It's inspired by the Dean Martin Show. I was watching a lot of those old variety shows, Dean Martin Show, Laughing, Bert Sugarman's Midnight Special.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, see, I could be like a Dean Martin. I like to be a host. I have, that'll feed my ego. I can do that. And then I can share with the rest of the planet these artists who will perform for like six people on a Wednesday night, pour their guts out. And I'm like, you need to be seen by a bigger audience. So that's what the show is designed for. We have three seasons. I have a Halloween special that I'm very proud of. It's silly and stupid, and it's 30 minutes, and it's fantastic, called the Mars Scariety Show. So I'm still working on that. I'm definitely going to do more seasons probably next year, but still acting, doing cartoons and video games, and even get my on-camera career off the ground. Did a couple of things here and there, and I have a movie that very exciting thing that I'm not allowed to talk about, but it is musical based, and I have to learn to learn some songs and sing and play guitar and all that stuff. And I'm very excited for that.
Ooh, well, are you on social media? Where can people follow you so that when you're ready to talk about that very exciting thing, people can hear about it?
Daniel Fishel, thank you for asking. You can find Jason Marsden at Jason Marsden on Instagram, official Jason Marsden on TikTok, or Jason Marsden official. I can't remember. I'm on the Twitter as well, but I most of my focus is the Insta family, but TikTok is the thing.
Yeah. Tell me about your TikTok. I want to know, what are some, do you have like a real popular TikTok thing? Like, what's your most popular TikTok?
Yes. So this is a weird thing, but I love it. So I did this cartoon, the sequel to The Lion King, and my character, his name is Kovu, and he is the chosen heir of the throne, from Scar, because you have to say chosen because you can't say incest in Disney movies. That's basically, if you follow the, like, mating habits of lions. That's pretty much what it was. But anyway, shows an heir, and he's this smoldering, like darker version of Simba. We call him Hot Topic Simba around the house. He just looks like he should have like gauge earrings and whatnot. And I get so much fan mail for that, and mostly fine young gals who come up and saying that, oh man, that character, that voice, you know, curious stirrings happened in my youth. So I did a TikTok showcasing that, and it's hit over a million like in 24 hours.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's hysterical.
But
that's
then I post cool. stuff about like, watch the Mars variety show. Nobody cares. You know, it's like, yeah. Hey, Goofy movie. Yup. Millions. Yep. Don't you care about what I want?
Can you?
Nope. My artistic integrity?
Can nope. you make fun of Will in the Goofy movie voice?
Oh man. You know what? You know what Goofy and Will have in common? You know what Max? I can't think of it. You know what Max and Will have in common? They're both Goofy. Yuck. Will, you like Powerline? Hey, Will. Maybe Ron Stoppable should hang out. We'll go see Powerline together.
I'll go see Powerline with you and Ron Stoppable. I totally do that.
But you are Ron Stoppable.
Boo, yeah. Am I? Or is he me?
Oh, this is going to be interesting. Fantastic. Take it on. Maybe you hook me up with that Kim. She's pretty nice. I already lied to Roxanne, so hooking up with Kim would.
Have Ron Stoppable and Max ever actually met before? I think this is an interesting Disney crossover.
Yeah, do you remember that one like after party at Club 33?
Oh, that's right. Oh yeah,
what
Mickey was
night?
There. Oh yeah, that was I was allowed to be there that night. Don't start with me. Don't even start with me.
I didn't know you could do Mickey Mouse.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, and Disney has just sued us somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Pod Meets World is now over. Thank you, guys.
All right, Jason, before we finish, I do have
Chris
one question.
Chris Pratt is now doing the voice of Max Goof.
Exactly. Well, he's doing the voice of everybody. Just a quick question for you, because we've touched on this in other episodes. Looking back at your life, because you are a true child actor, we're a child actor that has grown up into an adult actor. Do you look back at your career as a child actor as something positive, or do you look back at your career as a child actor as something not so great?
Nothing but positivity. I mean, like, you know, there's always ups and downs. You're a kid in a very adult industry, you know, but I can't trade any experience that I ever had, because I worked on so many intellectual properties that I loved, you know. I've had amazing experiences getting to travel all over the world, establishing friendships with fine folks like you guys. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love hearing that. And finally, what's your favorite project that you've ever worked on?
It's like picking your favorite child. You can't pick just one, man. It's like, you know, each show, each project you work on means something different based on the people you work with, based on the experience. It's hard to pick just one.
So Boy Meets World.
So Boy Meets World.
Okay.
So Boy Meets World.
I'm glad to hear that. What's your least favorite project, and why did you hate the actors you were working with? No, I'm kidding. You don't have to answer that one.
Or
but
he
if
wants
you
to.
Wanted
Look,
to.
Look, he wants to. Look at his face.
I did an episode of Will and Grace, and it was not my favorite experience at all.
Really?
Wow. I hear Will's nice and Grace is nice, but Anne is a dick.
You know, you guys are, I don't know if you guys ever worked on any other sitcoms after Boy Meets World, but you had such a family dynamic. And we did the same thing on Step by Step, and you were allowed to try things. And then there were certain shows I worked on afterwards where it was a shift and people were not as welcoming. And it's like, you say what's on the page or you're out of here. Like, you won't try anything. And I think I was caught off guard by that. And I don't know if you could tell, but I'm a little arrogant sometimes.
And I love you for it. I absolutely love you for it.
And I'll just say, I was supposed to do two episodes. I ended up doing just one.
Being with Jason, especially when you're out, first of all, you know that he's going to be fearless no matter what's in front of him. And you're always wondering, like, am I going to get into a fight? Like, what's going to happen right now? So one of my favorite stories
is he going to get naked and jump into a pool?
And naked and jump into a pool?
What's that story?
Oh, you don't know that story?
Oh, do you not know that
story?
I don't know the story.
Can I tell this story, Jason?
Please.
So I had done a film called, I think it was called Lady Killers at the time. It became Gold Diggers. Mm-hmm. It was, there was a way, it was not good. So we were at the Vegas Film Festival for Cine Vegas, and we were at a big party there the night before the festival started, and it was all this press, and there's hundreds of people around a pool. And of course, I turned to Jason at one point, and I was like, I bet you won't strip completely butt naked and jump into the pool in front of everybody.
Oh my God.
And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I go, I'll give you $400. And I turn away as like a joke. And by the time I turn back, he essentially has his pants off. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm kidding. Don't we're fine. Don't worry about it. And he's looking at me the whole time going like, wait, what's the problem? And butt naked, packed house, jumps in the water. Everybody then is staring, like looking at him. He gets out. We're laughing. And then security comes over.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
They grab us. We're then in the, he's like, I'm going to have him arrested. I'm like, whoa, no, we're good. We're friends with the owner of the hotel, which we weren't. But I was like, I'm here as a guest of the hotel owner. You know, what was his name again?
And I'm a very famous actor. Never heard of Boy Meets World. Never heard of Boy Meets World. Goofy movie, this guy.
This guy. He's like, you got to go.
Isn't he just goofy? Look at him.
Yeah, just go into the hotel room and keep him there. And then the thing that amazed me is you wouldn't even take the cash. I tried to give you the $400 and you're like, no.
He already had the experience, the adrenaline rush.
I'll get naked for free. Just ask.
It was so funny. And then I remember the director of the film coming up to me and going, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, what? We were just having fun. He goes, no. Had I known you were going to do that, we would have written the name of the film on his ass.
Oh, my God.
Free promotion. That's the most Hollywood thing.
What? There's a picture? No.
Yeah, I think Greg took it. One of y'all took it. It was me getting out of the pool surrounded by security.
Ryder, were you there too?
No. I just heard about it.
Oh, man.
To Will's credit, like, yeah, they were – the security was pissed because, you know, penises are deadly. Mine is anyway. But the security was escorting me out and very upset. And Will's like, I got you, Jay. Don't worry. He's following me behind. He's like, I don't worry. I'm with you the whole way. And then do you remember the big head of security came up and he was cracking up. He's like, man, what are you doing?
That's it. What are you thinking?
What are you thinking? And they were going to kick me out of the hotel. But because we were staying at the hotel, they couldn't. So I'm like, I'll just go to my room. I won't come back down.
Oh, it was so much. We've had a number of those just random incidents where, again, you're fearless. God, I love it. I love you, Jason. Fearless.
I love you guys. I know you got to go. Nobody wants to talk.
Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for asking me.
Are we going to see you next year around at the convention circuit?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Great.
I am also, I can finally announce here on Pod Meets World, which is awesome, that I will be joining Jason at Nashville Comic Con.
Heck yeah.
It's June 3rd and 4th, I believe?
June 4th and 5th, Saturday, Sunday.
June Nashville 4th and 5th. I get to hang out with my boy Jason in Nashville, and I've been a horrible friend and have not actually visited him in Nashville in the 10 years he's lived there.
10 years, and the only way to get him to come to a con is to pay for his flight and hotel.
Hey,
I would have done that ages ago.
But come to Nashville to see the two of us together, because he's going to show me the town, and you've got to, it'll be the first time I check it out, so you can come on a pub crawl with us as Jason shows me everything around there. So that is, yes, that
just
is
just don't
June.
Dare him to get naked.
He yeah. will, yes, June 4th and 5th.
Jason, I bet you have a really good answer to this question, so I want to ask it. What are some of the roles that you auditioned for that you came really close to getting but didn't get?
Oh, good question.
Oh, well, Eric in Boy Meets World.
Right.
I read really close. I read for Stallone's son in Rocky V.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
And he cast his own son, so it's not like he lost out to another actor. Yeah.
Yeah, but I went to the director's house like 7 times. It was John Avildsen, who did Karate Kid and the first Rocky, and... here's another one. Actually, I don't know how close I got, but I did read for Batman Beyond. You know, you're not even the Batman fan. I'm the Batman fan. And when he booked it, he didn't even want to tell me because he's like, he felt so bad. But he killed it. I can't imagine I would have done any better.
No,
but,
you certainly wouldn't have. Not with that role. I was meant to wear the cowl, my friend. I think
I remember
we all know
all
that.
Three of us being up for Trojan War. and being at a party. And it was, we were all like, it was down to like the three of us and like maybe five other people or whatever. Yes. And we were like, you know what? One of us is going to get it, guys. We like got in a huddle and we were like, one of us. And both of you guys ended up being in the movie.
And we were both in it.
I got nothing. Yes. I got nothing.
That was at the Boy Meets World rap party. We were
was that what it was? Yeah. I just remember us realizing that we had all read for this movie. We all wanted it because the script was so good. I remember loving it. And,
Thankfully, I ruined that. So we had no problem with that.
I don't know why, again, and I'm not just saying this, but like, I don't know why you don't star in more stuff. Like, you can clearly carry a picture and you're so wonderful. And,
well, it's very sweet. Man. Thank you. But and, you know,
get whatever is going on, get over it. It's that easy, right? Just get over it.
Just get over it. No, well, that's the other thing. Anxiety. That's the other thing that if you actually look at IMDb, Jason and I have played best friends or played friends in like 50 different things.
Yeah.
So it's just almost every cartoon, every film, everything. It's they cast the two of us together just because the chemistry is there, obviously. So it works.
IMDb will also tell you that he's doing Sonic the Hedgehog 3. So don't believe everything you see on IMDb.
Don't believe everything you see. I'm telling you. You were Chris Pratt in Guardians of the Galaxy, if memory serves.
Correct.
Awesome. Oh, jeez.
Well, thank you,
Jason.
Thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to see you again. Next year, and you guys can go see Will and Jason at the Nashville Comic Con June 4th and 5th, 2023. Get your tickets the minute they become available.
They're available.
Oh, they are.
Go to NashvilleComicCon.com right now.
There you go. Come check us out because I'm going to need people to so I have a bigger line than Jason or else I feel bad about myself.
Oh, you're definitely going to want that.
Yeah.
Boy Meets Honky Tonks. That's what's going to happen.
I'm happy with that. I just want to go. I can't wait. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Thank you for being here, Jason. It was great to see
you
as always.
Good to see
you.
Thank you.
Love you, brother. Ryder.
Bye, Danielle.
Bye.
Bye, Phil.
See you, Justin.
Oh, my gosh. His setup is so perfect. Perfectly Jason.
It is.
The red, like, velvet.
Director's chair, spotlight, red curtain.
Sitting just slightly off center.
I just wanted him wearing a turtleneck. That's all he needed, right? Just a turtleneck would have been the nice touch.
He's the first guy to admit that that he thinks it's his fault. But to me, every time I'm with him and every time I used to watch him work, that's a guy who should have been a superstar, in my opinion. Yeah. That's a guy who should have had his own sitcom, his own show. He's the first one to be like, oh, I shoot myself in the foot all the time. But he's so talented and so funny that it just, I was always in awe of him every time.
But doing like a variety show like he is exactly
it's perfect.
Do you know what I mean? Because it probably hurt his career that he was so Hollywood in the sense that he like lives and breathes show business. He's a ham, you know, he just wants to be the center of attention.
He's an entertainer.
I think in a weird way that could have worked against him as an actor. You know, like even said it with you when you were up for Eric, you came across as more sort of aw shucks authentic, you know, and like he probably lost that vibe pretty early because he's so good and he's such a pro. Yeah.
So he's
an old school polished performer and like there's less and less need for that these days. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I definitely think like doing a variety show, doing a hosting gig, like that is totally his jam.
Yeah. He's an entertainer. He's a purebred entertainer where it's just he can sing and he can dance. And the thing is, when he can't do one of those things, he just still throws himself into it. You don't see that a lot anymore. There's no kind of, I'm kind of wallflower about it. Oh, I don't know. It's like, no, I don't know how to do that, but I'm just going to go do it anyway. He was fearless with that stuff. So yeah, it was certainly a good role model to look up to, which was great. But oh God, it's so great.
I love your dynamic together. I absolutely really love watching you two together. I could just like sit back and eat some popcorn and it's so fun.
Well, my parents call him number four. I mean, because he's also one of those people where he'll smack you down when you need to, which is exactly what you need to keep level-headed in this business. You need somebody to go like, oh, come on, are you kidding me with what you just said? And he was always that guy for me, which was so great. So yeah, he kept me grounded and became a just such a brother when I really needed one at the beginning. You know, Ryder, you and I were always close, but our age differences were so much different when we started.
Yeah. The last 2 years of boys, really, when we became close.
All of us really did. And it was one of those things where Jason, man, at a time in my life where I needed a brother, he was there and it was just awesome. Because my brothers were always there for me, but they were there for me at different parts of the country.
Yeah, they were on the East Coast. Yeah.
Yeah, so I had Jay right from the time I moved out to LA, and thank God, because I would have had a much different life if I didn't.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you guys for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. We'll see you next time. You can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails. We get them. We read them. We love them. Most of them. PodMeetsWorldShow@gmail.com. And as always, we've got shirts and stuff called merch.
Huh? We got merch.
At PodMeetsWorldShow.com.
Sued by Disney.
Yes.
Multiple times, I'm sure.
This is endorsed by Mickey Mouse. We're selling Mickey Mouse shirts. What?
No, we're not.
No, we're not. All right. See you guys next time. Who's going to send us out? Ryder?
We love you all. Pod dismissed.
Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Jackie Rodriguez. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he ditched the Cocoa Puffs and downed some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.